This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio, and it's time once again for our monthly examination of businesses and entrepreneurs in the ground floor. And to get us started off, here is some Pink Floyd. Yeah, we won't get to the vocals, but that is the song Money by Pink Floyd, and that'll be the topic of this month's edition of The Ground Floor, because the people we're talking to manage money. When the crash of 2008 hit the economy and we watched several major businesses go down, we also heard a lot of the phrase, too big to fail, meaning major banks could not be allowed to fail because they'd cause too much damage to the broader economy. In the years since the crash, some of the big guys have only gotten bigger, which is why it's such an anomaly now to have a small local bank stick around and stay focused on local banking. That is the story in this month's edition of The Ground Floor. This month we meet Ken Troutman, the co-founder and CEO of People's Bank of Commerce in Southern Oregon. Ken, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
So a bit of an unusual move. I mean, the trend now, as we pointed out, is toward larger banks. And what, when and why did you and Mike Sickles decide to start the bank?
You know, about 22 years ago, both Mike and I worked at Western Bank, and that was a period of bank mergers. It seems like every so often that we had to have those happen, and we had a lot of our community banks here in Southern Oregon. In fact, four of them were gobbled up by bigger banks, and in fact, the bank we were at was gobbled up by Washington Mutual. So Mike and I met right after that acquisition and decided, you know, the community really needed and deserved a community bank, and so we started that process. It took us about a year and a half to get organized, but here we are 20 years later.
Congratulations on making it to 20 years. What was the most challenging thing about starting up?
You know, there's a lot of processes that go through. Mike was the CFO at Washington Mutual and had worked with regulators on that side. I was the lending officer and marketing person for the bank, so we had the skills that you need to put a bank together. But not only you need an idea, you have to go back and create a board of directors, and that means going into your community and convincing other people of the need and the opportunity. They financially and emotionally have to be behind your project. And that was probably the biggest worry we had, was finding directors. You know, second to that was selling stock. You know, to start a bank, you've got to have adequate capital. And we were just unsure about that opportunity, but all of it came together. Turned out when we got ready to sell stock, we had received all our regulatory approvals. It was at the start of the dot-com era. And what that meant was pretty much any stock that became available, people were interested in. And we benefited from that. We sold a little over $6 million in stock in about less than a month of time period.
This sounds like the period in history when the head of the Fed was talking about irrational overexuberance. Did you benefit from some of that?
Well, you know, back then, if you remember the dot-com era, a lot of those companies were never profitable and they failed, and that started kind of a mini recession back in 98. And we did benefit because here we are, a brand new bank. We didn't have any bad loans on our books. We were just starting out. You know, things were slower growth. You know, the economy in the local market really wasn't as affected maybe as what the big tech areas might have been. But so it didn't hurt us. Definitely helped us from a capital perspective, though.
So what kind of capital do you need? I mean, what did you envision at the start? What did you end up with at the start in terms of the numbers of open branches, things like that? And then based on that, how much cash would you need up front?
Well, you know, when we did our application, we had asked the regulators to approve our application with $3 million of capital, and that we thought was adequate to get us through that startup period. And it turned out, as I mentioned, that because of the exuberance in the market for stock, we sold $3 million in less than a week and a half. But what we were targeting, we had put together what we were calling a business bank. We were going to loan money to local businesses to help this community grow. And we wanted those businesses to be our shareholders. But once the announcement came out that our stock was for sale, all the stock went to people from all over the Rogue Valley, but they weren't really the businesses we were targeting. So we went back to the regulators and said, hey, what? We'd like another $3 million. And they approved that, and we put that $3 million out, and we targeted a little more specifically some of the local businesses and individuals, and we sold that $3 million out in a very short time period also. It's a little different today. You know, the regulators, because of the financial crisis, want more capital in a bank. But it's a balancing point. You need enough capital to start. We need to have roughly 10% capital in the bank. And so as your deposits grow your equity's got to grow with it. We were fortunate that the $6 million we raised lasted us for about 10 years.
Wow, that's a good time period, isn't it?
It is.
So 10%. I hadn't even thought about that part before. That as you grow, though, that it's not, you can't just stick with the original nest egg. You have to have more that you can hold back and have available to be liquid.
Yeah, in the banking world, there's really two ways you can increase capital, and one is through earnings. You know, and we've had gone through a pretty profitable time period, and that's why we didn't go out for more capital as the bank grew. The earnings supplemented our growth. But once you reach a certain point, and then earnings aren't enough, or if there's more opportunity, then you go out and issue more shares of stock. Banks are a little unique. Most businesses, if you want to issue stock, you have to be registered. You got to go through SEC. Banks have been given an exemption where you can go out and raise capital in your own market, and you can be the subscriber. Mike and I did all of our own work on the stock. We sold it ourselves. We didn't pay anybody else to do it. And that's kind of a unique thing that banks have. And so we've taken advantage of that really throughout the last 20 years. We've raised capital, I think, three times now. And in all those situations, Mike and I did it ourselves. So,
did you get a little over your skis at all? I mean, were there times when you thought, wow, we have really taken on more than we can chew here?
You know, if I was going to look at that, I'd say right now is one of those time periods where there's just tremendous growth. The economy, both in this local market and in the state and nationally, from a business perspective, has really never been better. So a lot of companies that were really kind of languishing for the last 8 or 9 years, really uncertain about what was going on and maybe not feeling the love from the government side, that's behind them. They're looking forward. They're feeling that there's a lot of opportunity, and they're expanding. And that is helping us substantially. But that growth has to be tempered. You know, we really have to watch. We had one client come in and bring in $50 million deposit. Well, if 10% capital is a requirement, that takes $5 million to support that one deposit. Now, we knew that was going to temper out and work its way through, but those are things we have to watch and manage very closely.
Oh, and you thought about that part. Yeah, as people bring money in, it requires more of you as well. Okay, that's an interesting gearing of the way the system works. Ken Troutman, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the CEO at People's Bank of Commerce, in business now for 20 years in the region. He is our guest in this month's edition of The Ground Floor, our look at businesses in the region and how they got started and who started them. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, to join by phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned something a moment ago about for the last 8 or 9 years, some businesses languishing, maybe not feeling the love from the government side. What kind of love were they looking for?
Well, just a somewhat supportive environment. There were a lot of changes going on through our government. In the banking world specifically, we had more regulations added in the last 8 years than we had in the first 12. And those are tough to deal with. And a lot of them were, you know, driven around the financial crisis we had. Unfortunately, they were trying to apply a one-size-fits-all approach. The problems we had really were with the larger banks, but, you know, there were 6,000 or 7,000 community banks at that time, and all of us got to share the pain, I guess, of the new regulations designed just for a few individuals.
But so they were designed for the likes of Bank of America and Chase, and they ended up even affecting the community banks like yours?
They did, and they still do. There's been some relief that we've seen recently, and there's hopefully some more coming down the road. But what that does is just stifles growth. I mean, you're dealing with regulations and different kind of reporting that really isn't productive on what you do every day. It doesn't necessarily help the local market, doesn't help our local customers, and I'm not sure it makes the banking environment safer from a community bank perspective. You know, most community banks are community-owned. I mean, they really have to do the things that make their community strong or they don't survive. Unfortunately, in the state of Oregon, you know, we started our bank, there were 45 state-headquartered banks in Oregon, community banks. We have 17 now.
Wow.
You know, the numbers have dwindled. There's going to be even more runoff, unfortunately. It's there's a certain size you have to be now to be successful in this market. You know, we were, for the first 10 years, we were about $80 million in total assets. As of our last reporting, we were about $325 million. And that is large enough to let you deal with some of this reporting and some of the accounting and different things that you need to do. But probably you need to be closer to a half a billion in size to be more efficient and to be really have the talent and the expertise to deal with all the things that we need to do in our world today.
So, Ken, do you have like one person who's a full-time compliance officer? All they're dealing with is all the regulations and making sure everything's in order there?
We have one that by designation, that's her job, but there are probably 10 other employees that spend a significant amount of their time doing the same things. You know, we're dealing with CRA, which is Community Reinvestment Act, which was really designed for bigger banks. And what the whole scope of that regulation was is if you're getting deposits from a portion of the community, you ought to be making loans into that community. Well, if you're a larger bank, that probably is pretty easy to take money from a small community and funnel it into a big city. And so they're getting no benefit of loans. If you're a community bank, this is where our loans are, and this is where our deposits come from. But we spend a lot of time tracking and reporting to the government exactly where our deposits come from, what's happening in the lending side. You know, and for community banks, you know, I'm not sure if that was really the intent. If you take a look at our credit unions, they aren't subject to that kind of reporting. And they're really not much different than a community bank and how they operate. But just one more level of reporting to do. Then you've got Bank Secrecy Act. You got money laundering. You know, we live in Southern Oregon, which is the mecca for the marijuana world. And we've got to track it. We are the government's eyes and ears, I guess, on what happens in our communities. And they were trying to get the bad players out of the market, no question. But now we have a quandary where you have a state legalized operation that's illegal federally. And here we're stuck right in the middle. And so we're still doing all of the reporting and all the tracking and all the monitoring for our federal government that, you know, frankly, is not the best use of our resources.
But given that you are federally regulated, can you even take money from people involved in marijuana operations?
You know, there's a lot of question in the banking world on what you can and can't do. There are banks that are directly involved with financing marijuana. Most banks that I've talked to and most banks in Oregon have said, okay, we're not going to directly be involved at all, meaning we're not going to finance the manufacture, growth, distribution, marketing of marijuana. But think of all the other businesses that are impacted. You mean our attorneys, our CPAs, our supply stores, our grain co-ops, you know, grocery stores, everywhere that you go to buy product if you're in the marijuana industry, those are secondary businesses. They aren't directly involved, but they need to be able to do their business. And so our policy has been we will deal with those businesses not directly involved. We'll do the reporting that the government requires us to do. But it seems to have worked. And it's still under flux. You know, we've got every year and a half to 3 years, we have examinations. And we have one coming up now on a compliance. And they'll look through our systems, and that's what they're going to be looking for. How are we dealing with those regulated industries, those high currency transaction businesses, and what do your policies say and how do you manage to that?
Ken Troutman is our guest in this month's edition of The Ground Floor. He is the CEO and co-founder of People's Bank of Commerce, the only community-owned bank in Southern Oregon. You can join in at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Robin in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you for taking my call. My question is, as a People's Bank, community-oriented, et cetera. Do you make loans to buy manufactured homes that are in parks that are where you pay a monthly fee?
So you pay a rental, but you own the actual structure.
Exactly. Yes. Do they do that?
Okay. Let's find out what's in the portfolio for consumer loans. Thanks for that, Robin.
Yeah, that's a good question. And when people think of home loans, they're typically thinking of that 30-year mortgage that's sold in the secondary market and gives them a fixed rate for the life of their loan. But we do make loans to manufactured homes and parks. You know, it used to be a big piece of business, I think, nationwide, and it's backed off a little bit lately, and I'm not sure if that's because there hasn't been as much construction of manufactured home parks. Might be one of the issues, but we do have a program for those. Those typically are a shorter-term loan as far as, I mean, it's not a 30-year fix. Typically, it's a 20-year, maybe even 25-year loan. But haven't had a lot of demand lately on those, and it's probably been 10 years since we've seen really any significant activity.
Well, now, how about the rest of the portfolio for consumer stuff? It sounds like you're more of a business-geared bank, but, I mean, if people do want home loans, you provide those too, yes?
We do. You know, we're kind of a unique little bank. You get to pick your niches if you're competing in markets against the bigger guys. And when you look at Medford, you know, we've got Wells Fargo, we got U.S., we've got Key, we got all of the big big national banks, and we have a lot of regional banks. So we picked the markets that we thought we could be very competitive in, and commercial lending is one of those, and that covers the whole gamut from inventory financing to construction to development, growth of their business. But we also do residential, and that's been a big piece of our business for our bank for the full 20 years of our history. And we do subdivisions where they're appropriate. You know, if you want to build your own home or you want a builder to build it, we'll take care of that. What we don't really specialize in is the auto financing and the RV, and primarily because there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of good players in that market that have substantially good rates, and we don't really think it's a niche that needs fulfilled, so we've stayed away from that. The deposit side of the bank that funds that loan growth that we do is really generally community-based in total. I mean, it could be businesses, it could be senior citizens, it's a lot of nonprofits. All of those are products that we've developed that make sure that it would serve the needs of this community. But we can't make a loan unless we have deposits to back it.
Ah, of course. So where are the branches of People's Bank of Commerce now, and are you expanding?
You know, it's interesting. We started out on Biddle Road in a leased facility.
Right there by Market Street.
Biddle
now,
Market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was a great location. It was, when we were starting the bank, that's one of the things we had to decide is where you'd be located. And we had this vision of what we wanted, but we didn't have a location. And the Little family owned that corner and had this design of a bank building that they, or not a bank building, of a building they wanted to build that to Mike and I looked like a bank. And so we worked out a deal, and it was a great home for us for 20 years. We've moved that location down a little further, I guess, north on Biddle. And we have a brand new head office branch location on Biddle and what are we on? Progress? We've got the corner here, but
Biddle and Progress, yeah.
Biggest Progress. It's a beautiful location, and it'll serve us for many years. But you know, our second branch we built was in Ashland, and it's located out on Siskiyou by the college, and that's been a really, really good branch for us. We have a great staff. We opened in Central Point, and we're right on Pine Street in Central Point. We have a branch in Grants Pass on 7th Street, and that's one of our unique, that's a lodge-style building that I just really love. It's a pretty mm-hmm. branch in a great community. And then we opened a branch on Barnett. In Medford, it's a funny little town. People, if you live on the north end of town, you do business on the north side. If you're in the south side of town,
you
do business there.
All right, Ken Trout with People's Bank of Commerce. Thanks for joining us in this month's edition of The Ground Floor to talk about People's Bank of Commerce.